You got to give those cares to the Lord. Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6 through 8. Say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, with thanksgiving, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So I see that when the care comes, I got to humble myself, give it to God, get ready for a fight, resist the devil. See, that's a part of it, resisting the devil. Some people just want to throw it and then they don't want to resist the devil. Well, you got to resist him because he's looking for somebody to devour. So you got to resist him actively. You got to resist him. Now, this scripture here says, and he's giving us another key here. He said, now, don't be anxious about anything. He said, but by everything, through prayer and supplication. Those are heartfelt requests to God. He said, let your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving. So I'm supposed to say, now, Lord, here's my anxiety. Here's my care. Here's what I'm frustrated about. I refuse to hold it. I give it to you. I'm resisting the devil, saying I'm not taking it back. And now, Lord, I'm making my request known to you. And it doesn't matter which order you do this in, because sometimes it may flip-flop on you. Just depend on how the attack comes. Sometimes you just take the care straight to God, make your request known, then turn around and resist the devil. Take a stand against it. Amen. Then you make your request known with thanksgiving. Why?
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
I tried to contact another friend of mine that I sang in the same gospel group with him. I'm trying to get him saved. He's a rock and roll star here, but I haven't been able to reach him yet, but young people know him as Johnny Taylor. But now in the 19th chapter, 1 Kings, the 4th verse, 1 Kings, the 19th chapter and the 4th verse, 4th and 5th verses. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. On the behalf of the young people, well as the adults tonight, I want to share this message with you. Down in the dumps with the blues. Down in the dumps with the blues. Now, this might sound a little bluesy to you, being a subject of a message, but as we go into the depths of the message tonight, we're going to find that everybody has had some good days and we have had some bad days. We have had some ups and then we have had some downs. We have had some trials and we have had some tribulations. What I'm really saying, everybody's been down in the dumps. And we're going to find out that many times we had a case of the blues. But before dealing with that blues term, I better look at the term blues. No one can really give a direct definition for the blues, but we do know it has to do with a sad feeling. Now, the blues will be one thing to some folk and another thing to other folk. For example, to the drunkard, the blues is when he cannot get a bottle. To the dope addict, the blues is when he cannot get a fix. To the gambler, the blues is when his money runs out. To the liar, the blues is when he doesn't have anybody to lie to. Cigarette smoker. The blues is when he has smoked up all of his cigarettes and can't get any more. Now this just for the record's sake, I'm sure we don't have any of these here in Dallas, Texas, but to the snuff dipper. The blues is when he has dipped up all of his snuff and can't get any more.
Come on.
To the Christian, the blues is when he doesn't have a church home. To the preacher, the blues is when he doesn't have anywhere to preach. We all have had a case of it. But we all have had some good days and then we have had some bad days. Now we have Elijah under consideration tonight. And I'd like to look at Elijah as we have read from the text. We would like to look at him, first of all, during his good days. During Elijah's good days, he carried heaven's key in his pocket for 3 years and 6 months. He lifted a dead boy to life one day. These were some good days.
That's right.
Not only that, but he had a great victory on Carmel. He had a quiet walk to the little station beyond the Jordan where the heavenly limit that met him and took him home. These were some good days. But now we want to look at Elijah down in the dumps with the blues. Now when you're down in the dumps, it's really not anything hurting you. You just don't feel good. I've heard that term all my life, but down in the dump is just a lazy feeling. You know, you're not sick enough to go to the doctor, and you're not well enough to get up out of the bed. You're just drowsy.
All right.
And we notice here Elijah. After Elijah's victory and success, we're going to find him down in the dump. Now, some people have said that Elijah was very pessimistic. He was a negative man, but not really intentionally so. Elijah was a man who thought on the positive side. But sometimes when we mean well, we do our worst.
All right.
One such woman who was very pessimistic and negative, they asked her how did she feel that particular day. And she said, I feel good today. But I always feel the worst when I feel the best. Because I know how bad I'm going to feel when I get to feeling bad again. You know, a lot of people can feel good today, but they feel bad when they feel good. Because they're thinking about how bad they might feel on tomorrow. That's looking on the wrong side of life. A man should always look to the bright side. I don't want to lose any of you, but I'm from the country, and I just told you that a few minutes ago, but we used to have to draw water. Now, some of y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
You young people might not know too much about a bucket and a well, but if one said that two buckets went to the well one day to get some water, and one of the buckets said, "It breaks my heart to think that however full we go away from the well, we always come back empty." And the other bucket laughed and said, "I was congratulating myself on the fact that however empty we come to the well, we always go back full." There are two sides to life. It behooves us as young people to look on both sides and always look to the brighter side. There was a man once who was convicted in the armed forces because he was a discourager. He was always looking at the bad side. Many times they would be sent out on missions and he would predict that nobody would get back. You know, a discourager can hinder progress. And this man was convicted because he was a discourager. He refused to see anything hopeful. And this kind of person is always dangerous to progress. We have a lot of people like that in the church. Now, first of all, here we look at Elijah, as we go back to Elijah, as being tired. We can imagine the days preceding the great test upon Carmel. These were some toilsome and restless days. Then came the great day of contest and victory. And I'm sure Elijah had to put forth a lot of preparation before the great contest. I can think about Mr. Bradshaw, I can think about before a big football game, before the Super Bowl, you had to put forth extra preparation. And most teams, when they get ready for a big game, they really work out hard. So I'm sure Elijah put forth some special preparation just before my come. So he had a lot of teaching. And therefore, his nerves were on the edge. And after the victory, it is said that he ran before the chariot of Ahab from Carmel to Jezreel, which is a distance about 17 miles. So now if I'd run two blocks sometime, and I can imagine Elijah running some 17 miles, he must have been sure enough tired. So we do have evidence here that he was a tired man. And you know, it's dangerous to make decisions when you're tired. It's dangerous to do anything when you're tired. So we notice here Jezebel's threat totally upset Elijah. When he got to Jezreel, he got a message from Jezebel threatening his life. And immediately he felt like he had been a failure in life. And you know, it's bad when you have won the victory and then you think you have lost. It's bad when you don't know when you won. It is said there were some soldiers at the end of World War II, when the war was over. It is said that there were some soldiers still fighting. Some even lost their lives after the war was over. They had not received the news that the war had ended. Yeah. United States had won the war and they were still fighting. Yeah. It's bad when you don't know you won. Yeah. So Elijah here had already been victorious. He had won.